the end result of all that connections with the Canadian U.S. military was is that in mechanical engineering, they developed like a specialty in this type of explosives research. And so a new generation of professors came in, and actually they have a name for it. They call it, it's the shockwave physics group in engineering that formed back then and continues to exist. So new professors came in and continue doing research with this physics group, shockwave physics group, and it continues to have the military kind of applications. And that became really apparent in the last few years because the U.S. military kind of ramped up its research on this type of explosive. And Nat mentioned before it had been fuel air explosives that they kind of used in Vietnam. And the newer version of this is thermobaric explosives. They're pretty same, they're the same kind of idea. Both of them are called like volumetric explosives. So the idea being that rather than normal explosive, which explodes really quickly and really strong and shoots shrapnel out, that's the idea of how it's gonna like kill people, this explodes and shoots out a shockwave. And the shockwave lasts a long time, and the pressure of the shockwave itself will kill people just because it's strong enough, not the shrapnel that goes with it. And also, since it's a shockwave, it can like, it's stronger if it's in an enclosed space, like a tunnel or a building, and it can knock out the walls of buildings or go around corners in different rooms and things like that. So in Afghanistan, it was a lot of people in tunnels that the US military wanted to bomb. So they kind of started this like rapid development program for a new thermobaric explosive for use in Afghanistan. So this was like a month or two after September 11th, they started this program, and then they had it ready for the invasion of Afghanistan. It was like something like a few months that they developed this bomb. And they're kind of like proud of it that they did it that quickly. And then they were using, it's like a big bomb that they used in Afghanistan, but then they kind of stepped back after that and evaluated that rapid development of this new type of weapon. And part of that evaluation was a report that was published by the National Research Council. The Defense Threat Reduction Agency was the name of the U.S. military agency that had done this rapid development program for Afghanistan. Threat Reduction Agency commissioned the National Research Council to do a science kind of background on a bunch of different weapons things, and part of that was thermobarics. And as part of the National Research Council report, they called Advanced Energetics, which is also the name of a Defense Threat Reduction Agency subprogram on this type of research. They brought in a prof from McGill to give a presentation to them to talk about, this was David Frost, who's kind of like this new generation of researchers in the shockwave physics group. So David Frost gave the presentation in 2002, so this is just right after Afghanistan, and then the report came out in 2004, and it had the part on thermobarics, and they basically said that it was nice that they developed the bomb really quickly for Afghanistan, but it didn't really work as well as they thought it would. In order to make these type of weapons work better, they needed more research. So specifically, they said that it wasn't efficient, and by that, they like kind of later on, efficient means lethal is kind of how the wording of it is by what they mean. And they said, we need more research to make it more efficient. For example, like research being done by Canadian researchers in Canadian universities. And then they cite David Frost, 2002, when he gave this talk to them. And then right below that, like the next point on what they recommend, they say, concerted and focused effort is needed for understanding the phenomenology of enhanced blast kill mechanisms and what they may offer over conventional munitions in effectiveness. So this is where they're kind of fitting in the McGill research in terms of how they're using it. So he gave that in 2002. In 2001, he had written a paper with a Canadian military researcher, even though the U.S. military research funding stopped at McGill at the end of the 80s, coincidentally or not, in conjunction with this major campaign against it and the implementation of transparency policies, that's when they stopped getting U.S. military funding, but they continued pretty intensive collaboration with the Canadian military. So that was, in 2001, they published a paper called Explosive Dispersal of Solid Particles, and the U.S. military wasn't involved in that paper. But then a few years later in 2005, when they're doing this research, they had like a technology contract that they're putting out, like the US Air Force. So they were getting some private company in the US to develop a thermobaric weapon for them. And so it was, the goal of it was, increase lethality by focusing more of the available energy on target. So that was like the science question they were trying to answer, was again, increasing lethality. And this contract kind of proposal or like solicitation for a research contract for a technology development was, had two set like references for like what to read into to figure out how to do this. And one was some researchers in the States and the other was this 2001 paper by the Canadian military and Frost. So obviously, again, having a central role in the research they're doing for weapons. So that was 2001. He wrote that paper in 2002. They brought him down to give the presentation to the National Research Council. And then like 2005, 2004, these reports are coming out. And then in like soon after that, 2005, 2006, with Canadian military researchers again, Frost is publishing papers that are receiving funding for the research from the Defense Threat Reduction Agency, the same agency that's been doing all this. At first, when we first saw this, we thought that it was Frost receiving the funding, which kind of made sense based on what we had seen before. But actually then the Daily contacted Frost about it, and he said it was the Canadian military researcher he was collaborating with that was receiving the funding. So it wasn't going to need to be reported at McGill because he wasn't receiving the funding, even though it's for the project he's working on. Then, but then he had another paper where he wasn't just with the Canadian military researcher, he was actually directly collaborating with people from the Defense Threat Reduction Agency. So the kind of connections there in terms of how close the there's funding to the Canadian military researcher he collaborates and direct collaboration with them. So it's pretty tied up. There's like three papers that receive funding, one where it's direct collaboration. And those were published in 2005, 2006. And so the research was probably going on a few years before that, right when the US military was finding out about the stuff Frost was doing and how it was useful. And then, so for all we know, there's more research going on now and more papers will be published later with these kind of connections, but it's, the research comes, the papers aren't published to know until a few years after the research happens, so we don't really know. This is why the transparency policy, which will come into effect as soon as the research is proposed, is necessary, because otherwise it's all after the fact. So then the other part of this is kind of, I mentioned Afghanistan and the development of that bomb in 2001, and that doesn't relate to Frost and stuff. Kind of the US military turned its focus back to McGill, because McGill had been useful in the 70s and into the 80s, and then they kind of looked away and weren't looking here, and now they're back again because of Afghanistan and Iraq. And specifically, they didn't just develop the bombs for Afghanistan, but then they also, the Defense Threat Reduction Agency's other major thermobaric project was a thermobaric version of the Hellfire missile. And Hellfire missiles are fired from Apache helicopters, like a fighting helicopter. They were used in the invasion of Iraq especially, was when they started introducing those. They was like around 2003 that they first had it, and more in 2004, 2005. So it's the kind of more recent development, and that's what, if we're looking at terms of Frost has been contributing research to them, his research was going in at the same time they're developing that weapon, pretty much. And then they've also been working on shoulder-mounted like rockets that are thermobaric, and they're just kind of diversifying the number of things that they include this weaponry in. All of it, especially for urban warfare, because of the ability to go through different rooms in a building or knock down a whole building because it knocks out the walls with the pressure. That's kind of, they've seen it as useful for urban fighting, which they've been doing a lot of in Iraq.